Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Kev's Perspective. I'm your host, Kev Lowe, and today I had a special guest, as I do every week, but this week, especially special to me. His name is Augie 5000. He is my favorite on-air personality and blogger for a Minnesota radio station called Go Radio on 95.3 FM. He's worked at other radio stations as well before coming to Minnesota, such as Phoenix, Arizona, and San Antonio, Texas. He has interviewed high-caliber artists such as Macklemore, Logic, and Post Malone, which he talks about a little bit in the interview. You can catch him every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Go 95.3 FM. Please welcome my guy, Augie 5000. Yeah. Augie 5000.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, what's up, brother? How we doing?
I'm good.
I'm really thrilled to have you on, bro. I really am, because again, for those who are listening and seeing via YouTube, Augie 5000 has been my favorite person on Go 95 since Go 95 has been around for the Twin Cities.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. I used to listen to you every morning on the way to work, bro, because I used to basically work this dead-end job in Minneapolis a couple years ago. And like every morning when I was driving, I was like, all right, gotta listen to Augie, bro. It was super sick. So I appreciate you for that, man.
No doubt.
No doubt, man.
Thank you. I'm honored, man. That really makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, bro. And I think, and right off the gate, I'm going to say this too, you know, cause there's a lot of critics of Go 95 since it's been around. I think that for you, you're a very down to earth personality on Go 95, and you really do actually like support the community. Like you back up what you say, you know what I mean? You host, you know, Shut Up and Rap, you do things to support. You're a big supporter of Nerdy, and we know that. So like stuff like that is like really dope to see around the scene, especially when I've been doing this for 8 years, and for the last 8 years, there hasn't been anyone doing that. So much love for what you do around the community. You know what I mean?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, for me, I moved here 4 years ago, and the first thing I noticed was how dynamic the music scene was. And by dynamic, I mean like there was really a lot of artists out here, really talented. It's almost like watching Hoopers, right? Like if you go like see any junior college, you're like, dang, these guys could play with the D1 guys, and you see D1 guys, like these guys could play in the league. And so like you see that in Minneapolis, I feel like more so than in other cities. And I'm like, these guys just need a little bit more boost. Anything that I can do to boost, you know, I don't know how far my boost stretches, but if I can just get you to that next level, then I'm gonna do what I can to do it. And that's kind of where the Shut Up and Rap thing came from, and to see Nerdy as the shining example of it is really cool. Cause I mean, I can say that I gave him his first shot on a stage, but that guy did everything else, man. I mean, he had the heart. Even that first night, you could tell he came in like just focused, and he was just ready to go. And it's only so far that our little push can push you. You can use that. You can either let that push kind of like let you go, or you can bounce off that push and then do what he's doing. So it's really cool to see, man. It's what our platform was built to be. That's kind of what we envisioned it to be. And it's, you know, you find one Nerdy out of, you know, 100, 300, facts. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, that's big facts, dude. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a concert promoter around the Twin Cities. So like, I understand what it means by giving an artist a push. Like, and like when I work for CLM Presents, like we that's all we do. We give people the opportunity, but it's up to you and what you do with it. It's up to you to capitalize on it. You know what I mean? And that's big. When I saw Nerdy, it was actually outside of my old recording studio. So Minnehaha Recording. So like, that's where like my buddy, my roommate, Scott, knows the owner, and he built that with his bare ass hands, him and the owner. And like when I saw Nerdy perform outside of that, I was like, all right, I believe in the universe and I believe in signs. I was like, I gotta give this guy a chance. And I go and I sat in front of him and I was blown away. Not just because it was him and a DJ, and you know, he's just like every other rapper I've met over the 8 years. It's like this man has such a different presence and energy that he brings. So like right off the gate, he's always been one of my favorite artists from the Twin Cities. And I was like, bro, I don't do this, but like we gotta get a picture. Like, because I know that you're going to pop off at some point, and I would love to help in any which way I can. Like, my buddy Miles offered his services right off the gate with Artist Empowerment Firm. I offered a free show. Like, we did anything we want. And that's awesome when someone has that energy where you just want to give. You know what I mean? That's really fucking dope. But obviously, he even told us, he's like, I don't need that. You're good. Like, and he was really calculated, really smart. And now he has some good praise going on. And I still think, to be honest, he's a slept on artist in this scene, but you know, it's hard to break that point, man. It's just hard to blast through that, you know, that area of local to, I guess, national when, you know, especially during COVID, you know, it's kind of tough on the momentum.
This is tough. Cause I feel like this year was going to be his year to where he was kind of like a Minnesota household name. And he, the momentum started with that show that he got his Bet City Pages best concert of the year show. But that was supposed to be like, that was the launching pad. Then the next show, but he only had, I don't even know if he had another show after that show because of COVID. But by this time it was supposed to be like, okay, almost everybody in the Twin Cities area knows who you are. At least people that are checking for that type of music, they know who you are. And that was really like the plan. And then COVID kind of hit. But I think that like he might lag a year back off of that. Mm-hmm. But maybe jump in with quicker momentum. The interesting thing about 2021 is going to be is that like we have no idea what it's going to be, right? It could be we're not doing shows till the summer, which is a very... very logical thought. Maybe we're not going to do shows till the summer. We may not do shows till the fall. We may start doing shows in the spring.
Yep.
But for that man to continue on his path, it's shows.
Yep.
You know, because the magazines and the blogs and social media, they can take you really far. But until people can really see what you can do live, and that's what he showed with that show at First Avenue, the best new band show, was that like, this is who I am and this is this is what we're doing. And he got that buzz off of that. I feel like that show was a new plateau for him. And it was really disheartening to see the fact that he couldn't do shows after that.
Yeah.
Like that he was going to get married in April and couldn't do that the way he wanted to do that.
Yep.
So, you know, and the guy makes lemonade out of lemons. That's what he's been doing his whole life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they celebrated, they were able to do that and it was cool to see, but it wasn't what we wanted. You know, I wanted to go to my friend's wedding. You know what I mean? And we didn't get to go. So, you know.
Yeah. I feel, you know, again, the whole year kind of just like, I've talked about it many of my podcasts already, but have dampened a lot of artist plans who are not just local either, but on a bigger level. And being like, people ask me a lot, being a promoter, like, you know, how did that affect you? And obviously it shut me down completely. I mean, it's just like Go 95 used to throw shows, right? It shuts you down completely. We did one show during COVID in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I will not do it again because it was a good turnout. You know what I mean? Like we did a really well. We did like 300 people in a small venue and we did 500 pay-per-view. Like pay-per-view is really smart to do right now, but like other than that, like the concern that came with it was I was literally at the front door and I didn't sit by anybody. And I had two security guards around me the whole time, making sure people would stay away from me. Like I didn't trust it. You know what I mean? It was just a really uncomfortable feeling. The experience for the patrons too didn't feel the same. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, when 2021, if things are calm, which if you've been following, probably not, then, you know, we'll see how the experience is for everybody. But I'm glad as a person like you on the radio, it affected you guys, right? But I mean, like, I wanted to know, because I mean, I used to be an old radio host for a college, but that's way different when you're actually working for an organization. Working for an organization like, you know, Go 95, how has, you know, this whole change affected you guys and your job?
Oh, it's affected us a lot. I can tell you that the week that the NBA got canceled, I feel like that was the week that everybody really was like, oh my God, this is real. Cause I remember that night I was at an event, and oh my God, I can't remember the name of this organization, but it was an event at the Poorhouse downtown. And, I was like trying to stay away from people. I had told them I was going to do this like a month before. And I was just like, I'm going to be here, but I really don't feel like being here because I had canceled Shut Up and Rap. But the day before, I was like, yo, we're just going to take 2 weeks off of Shut Up and Rap. And so I wasn't even planning on doing it that week. But I was there and I'm trying to stay away from people. I saw, oh my God, it's been so long since I've seen him. And I can't remember his name and I feel really bad. But I can see his face. But he's a promoter too. And he was working with exchange in Poorhouse. And he was at that event doing the same thing. We were judging like models or something. Mm-hmm. And he's coughing and he looks sick as shit. He's like, and he's just walking around. And I'm like, yo, I don't want to be anywhere near you right now, my yeah. guy. Like, oh my God. And I'm seeing people I know, they're saying what's up. And I'm like, yo, like, I'm just trying to stay away from people. They're like, because of coronavirus. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, yeah. yo, like, that's like, why are you worried about that, bro? Like, that's not even like gonna come here or whatever. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
I'm like, no, bro, like it's happening right now. And then next thing you know, that night I'm looking at my phone and like Utah Jazz and Denver Nuggets or whatever, like game canceled, NBA's yeah. off of the year. And it happened at that event. I'm looking at my thing and I'm like, we're still here. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then it ended. And that week is when my boss was like, nobody's going in the office.
Yeah.
We're limiting the studios. Only the show hosts are going in. Mixers, your mixes are going to be pre-recorded and emailed in.
Oh, so you don't touch the mixers?
No, the mixers, we haven't had live mixers since March on the station. Except for Bonix. Bonix now, he's able to, like, because before it's really difficult to run your soundboard and mix at the same time.
Yeah.
And he figured out a way where he can do it. So now he does it live at noon every day, which is cool.
Good on him.
It's cool to see. And he has a lot of fun with it. But other than that, everything is, it used to be live. All the advanced would come in and we had it. He couldn't come in anymore. And D-Mill couldn't come in and Ray couldn't come in. And so like, it was just like,
damn.
Yeah. And then and then we couldn't have anybody else in. So, you know, I would have Sam, she would come in. And I'm just like, you can't come in. I'm sorry. Like,
that's rough.
You know, it sucks because it was great having the presence and you had to figure out ways to make it work. Like, you know, the night before we would either record something together or I'd be like, yo, send me like a voice memo talking about this topic.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it just isn't the same. So it was a very hard adjustment. It's tough to do because when you do radio every day, when you do radio at all, I mean, people may recognize this, they may not recognize this, but it's performance. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't say you're like a stand-up comedian, but you're kind of doing what a stand-up comedian does in a sense every day for 4 hours. And it's not 4 hours straight, but you know, there's different dynamics that make it harder to be a comedian, but harder than the other dynamics make it harder to be a radio personality.
Yep.
So you're coming in and you want to feel your best and you want to be in a great mood and you want to have all this. And to a certain extent, if you're in this business for a long time, you understand how to take off the bad energy and leave it at the door. Mm-hmm. You learn that, but over the course of months and everything changed and you still got to go in. And then, you know, you see George Floyd get the life sucked out of him. Those 2 weeks were the toughest 2 weeks mm-hmm. I've ever done anything in my life. Because you don't feel like coming in. Nobody felt like going to work then. I'm no different. I didn't feel like, but I felt like, the way I look at my job is I'm a servant to the city. Mm-hmm. So I come in and I'm like, and that's what got me through that really. And also just people are great too. Cause people were checking in on me and I'm like, we'd apply calling the request line at 5:30 AM before I even get on the mic and like, yo man, how are you? You good? Like, yeah, you know, talking it out. And I, even though I was stressed and not feeling great, I didn't feel like I the one to be checking in on. You know, there's
sure.
people really out here that, you know, hey, really saw that man die in firsthand, and also people that were fighting for freedom out there getting hit with rubber bullets and getting gassed and getting beat to hell and all this stuff. And like I'm just in a booth, but people were kind enough to check on me, and I think that was cool. But my what I considered my duty was like, all right, we have to give something to the city now, and whatever the city needs, we're going to give it. So in those moments, I was having people just call like, hey, what are you feeling? What did you see? What message would you like to send? Sometimes it was people that were like, yo, I was at the protest and the cops were wild, and the cops, you know, they hit us with rubber bullets. Or sometimes it was just like, yo, we need to chill. We need to love each other. Or sometimes it was just like, I'm stressed out. I don't know what to do. And people were just kind of like, it was just a moment for everybody to vent. And I felt like that was the minimum that I could do was just like, hey, let everybody kind of just talk to each other on the air. Cause I mean, honestly, like I could have called in sick. I could have been like, yo, I can't make it, but what is it going to be, dead radio in the time when the city needs it the most? Like, I can't do that. Like, if I do that, I might as well just quit and leave. I might as well just move back to Arizona. And it's not what I came here for, man. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad. And the city's given me so much good that if I'm not here in the worst times, then hell am I doing? You know? Right.
No, I feel that. And that's actually a very powerful point that you brought up about Floyd, which I honestly didn't think we'd touch on. But it's tough because, first off, I remember when you were doing that. I pay attention to Go quite a bit. And when you were doing that, I called in and I was one of those people that said, you know, hey, we all need to love each other. But then immediately my DJ buddy Vegas calls me and goes, bro, listen, that was the wrong move. Like, he's like, you, this is what you should be doing. And he's been on the front lines and was on the front lines every day he could be. He was sending us videos and sending like, hey guys, I'm good today. Like, we would make sure he would do daily check-ins. Cause I was like, bro, if you're really going to be out there supporting your city, which in the area he grew up in, then I understand. But like, you also got to make sure to check in with us as a company because we're a family, as CLN Presents. So he checked in with us every morning. But like one day it was like, you know, it's all good. The next day he had bruises all up and down his back and thighs from those bullets. And then the next day he's like, I can't get out of bed because that tear gas fucked my eyes up so bad. And then I remember going to his house and I had to like help him out, like just get him some water and like kind of take care of him because he really got messed up. And there's people out there who are really doing good. Like, again, my girl, when I was out there like doing food drives, and like I know Nerdy was doing the same thing, and like he made a big organization bigger than himself, which was phenomenal. And I kudos to those people because I can't say that I did that at all, and I'm not gonna act like I did. And even for you, I'm glad that you were able to say, hey, I didn't do anything other than give people a platform, which is powerful, man. Like that's still a powerful thing to do. You still were therapeutic to people, I bet, and that probably gave them a sense of clarity throughout the day that they needed. I remember going to the city, because I was in Madison and Wisconsin at this time, man, doing some stuff for shows. When all of this went down, I come back and my city was fine when I left. I come back and I'm like, yo, like I had to catch up. And I felt horrible because I was gone for the whole week. I didn't know what was going on. I just saw videos, bro. I was like anybody else on the internet at that time. So then I go, and when it really hit me, the impact of not just, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, but when Floyd died, was when I went to El Nuevo Rodeo, and I've booked that venue 100 times. My last show was Stunner for Vegas there. And I go and I'm like, this beautiful venue that I would love and I actually have an attachment to is gone. And everything surrounding that area is gone. That's when I was like, okay, I need to be an ally. Like, I knew what I needed to be, an ally. Like, and a lot of my friends tried to act like they understood, which really upset me. I said, you guys need to be allies in this time. You need to be open ears. You need to be, you got to check yourself, to say the least. Yep. So good on you, by the way, for feeling so, you know, I mean, you were very selfless in that time to understand like, hey, I'm good to be checked on, but check on other people. That is a very selfless act. And I know you're not looking for praise on that, but that is impressive. Not going to lie. Because you know, a lot of people in this time are not thinking that. So good on you for that.
I was looking at guys like Nerdy that was really out there, and Mike Dose was out there. I mean, I knew so many people that were really out there, like feet on the ground type of vibe. And yeah, I'm like, bro, I'm at home. My wife was scared. We went to stay with friends that lived in Golden Valley. Like when they did the what was that called? You couldn't go outside at 8 o'clock. What was that?
Oh, the curfew. There's a curfew. Yeah.
Yeah. We went and stayed with the friends in Golden Valley on that time. And I'm in my head the whole time, like
Cause I'm the type where I've been a protest and I've been out there and I've been, I didn't do none of that this go round. And it was mostly cause of COVID. Cause wifey was like, yo, I don't want to get that. I don't want you to go out there and get that. And we were really worried about that. And I'm just sitting on my hands. Like, I felt like I didn't do enough, you know, like,
yeah,
I have a platform and I've talked about this, like with friends that were out there. It's like everybody has a role, right? Like your role is either your foot on the ground soldier, or you're a medic, or you're, you know, and my platform was my role, but I wanted to do more.
Yep.
And I just couldn't. And you know, that I felt bad about that for a while, but you know, after a lot of soul searching and conversation and stuff, like I feel satisfied. I guess that satisfies the word. Like, I don't feel great about
content. I'm just, probably be a better word.
Yeah, content. I'm glad I was able to be there for the countless, the faceless people, because you know, I don't get to interact with everybody that listens. Yep. But you know, if it helped somebody one day, if it helped one person one day, I think I did a good thing.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. No, and that's one thing I wanted to talk about too in this podcast, like trying to basically turn in Minneapolis this I mean, I call it like a cloud. It was basically this gray cloud that ruled through Minneapolis and all over the world pretty much for a while, and still is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, these things are solved. They're not, but it is a work in progress if you're kind of ignorant, if you think it's going to just be 1-2, you know what I mean? So as long as we constantly remember and use that as a lesson to move forward, then that's all we can do. And I remember, I'll be honest too, I reacted really poorly during those times, because like, I don't know what it's like to be on that end or even be affected by that, other than I could listen to my friends that were, and listen to those that were close to me that were. And what just really upset me about the whole thing was, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, man. I just reacted poorly because I was mad that my city was getting burned down. It was a city that I've loved my entire life. And that's another thing that was really tough for people was, you know, some people were talking about the city, but then some people were talking about, well, there's a reason why the city's burning down. I understand, but it's still tough when it's like, it's a big movement that is sparking, and the riots are due to these things, and the fires were due to these things. But having things that are such an attachment to me, where Minneapolis has been my only safe haven during times where, like, I used to be homeless growing up in North Minneapolis, man, like in a box type shit with my mom. Like, I've been in this city in the thick of it. And like, that's why I'm saying like, I see stuff burn down like that, it just hurts, because I remember being a kid around that area and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So, but I did react poorly. I had people like giving me death threats because like I was reacting poorly. I was saying, why are we burning our city down? Why can't we do peace and love? Peace and love wasn't what the world needed. I understood that. But like, it wasn't until after the fact. And I can openly admit that. So that's big. But one thing I am big about is spreading positivity and love, because that's what I'm, and a lot of people are, but I really do act on that because I believe in the law of attraction of, you put more positivity out there, and it's tough during these times. But I wanted to ask you to kind of move forward from that topic, was you're very big on that too. You're very big on positivity and good energy. How have you kept yourself in that mindset, not just during those times, but even today? Like, when you hop on every morning, you're in the morning, like, good morning, everybody on Instagram. I've been on a couple of times, as you know. Like, how do you keep that energy up for people?
You know, I'd say that, that's funny. I never really thought about it. Cause like, I'm not a morning person at all. Like, I'm not, bro. I'm, if anything, I'm a night owl, but I've kind of trained myself to be a morning person. I never was. You get to ask my mom. I never was like, hey, I'm up. Hi, good morning. But it goes back to what I feel like my service is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a service, because I can't just be on for a million people or whatever and be like, we're just going to have a day to day. Because like, I think about when I was a kid, and I was listening to my favorite morning show person and our people. It was a cool show. You know, it was a cool show. It was always funnier. There was always like something interesting, or, you know, laughter or whatever. They never had a bad day, at least, you know, in my child yeah. ears, they yeah. never had a bad day. Of course they've had bad days, but you never heard it come through the radio.
Yeah.
And that, and to me, I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to do those kids a disservice if I'm not giving, if I'm not giving that energy. Let me just try to position these lights.
Yeah, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, if I'm not giving that energy, like, I'm doing everybody a disservice, because, you know, what am I, like, what am I here for if I'm not here to just help people have a good day? You know, like,
right.
You know, nobody wants to hear some bullshit in the morning, or nobody wants to hear, like, oh, fuck, life sucks in the morning. And that's what really what made, going back to Floyd, that's what made that so hard, is because, like, I feel like my mission statement, I've never actually said this out loud, but my internal mission statement is like, yo, we wanted people to just get their day started off on a good note. And there was no good note with that. I got on the air a couple of mornings right after that, like, yo, no, normally we're cracking jokes or we're doing something funny, but today ain't the day. Like, mm-hmm. we're all in this together right now, you know? And that's kind of what made it really hard, was like, for me, my whole career has been, how do we make this funny, or how do we make this fun? How do we give this energy?
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the darkest times, mm-hmm. there's really no way to make light of it. And that's kind of what made it really hard. But yeah, that's really what it is. I just feel it's my duty to be positive in the morning. So it's like, if, you know, I don't want to make this religious or anything. And I don't even want to say that God made my mission to make people's mornings better or whatever. But like, if I'm going to do a job, I'm going to feel like I'm just going to put my all into it. And that's really where the positivity comes from, you know? Like, even if I'm having a bad day, you're never really going to know it from.
I mean, let's be real though. Is it genuine?
The positivity is.
Okay.
Because
like you said, it's like when you're on the radio, it's kind of like performing. And I've done a little bit of broadcasting. I did it for a year. And like, it is tough when you're in a booth by yourself. My show is 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. So it's a polar opposite of what you're doing now. And it was college kids, so I still had to keep them up. And I literally had to, I'm not kidding, man. I would have my Red Bull and I would just like turn on this persona, because I knew I had listeners and they were like, yo, this is what they wanted. But honestly, sometimes it wasn't genuine. I stuck to my program. I stuck to the, because again, that's another thing people don't realize, is that people think you just hop on and just, and I was like, no, man, you got a schedule. Like, there are certain things you got to say and do at certain times. And it's tough to do that, especially when so many distractions are around. And you're not just focusing on the schedule, but you're focusing on keeping yourself positive or keeping yourself in a good energy over that mic. I just want to know, like, again, and I'm not trying to like rat you out by any means, but is it all like genuine? And if not, you know, like you said, it's a service, but what am I trying to ask? Basically just, yeah. I mean, like it's tough, man. You know, do you know what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly what you mean. And, in a sense, your inclination is right. Right. Like, there is a performative sense to it. I'm not happy every morning, right? Like,
right.
Or at least when I walk in there, I'm not happy every morning. You know, I walk in there at 5 a.m., I may not be in the best mood, may not even be awake or whatever. But what isn't performative is my will to have everybody just feel better, right? That's not performative. Like, I want everybody to feel good about waking up, I guess. Like, if I'm in the morning, I want you to feel good about waking up. I want you to feel good about turning Go 95.3 on and tuning in and listening to your favorite songs. I want you to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that isn't how I'm feeling. So there is a performative aspect, but the notion and the heart is correct, no matter what.
Yep.
No matter what, you know, my grandmother died recently. She died of, she got COVID, and she's in her 90s. And you know, it hasn't been the hardest loss I've faced. And not because I didn't love my grandmother, I loved her dearly, but, her husband died, 2 years ago. Mm. And she hasn't been living the best quality of life since, you know, and then the last conversation I had with her around Christmas time, this past Christmas, she told me I'm going to die. And I'm like, yo, no, we're not, it's not what we're talking about right now. We're not trying to hear that right now. But she was right. And, you know, I kind of came to terms with it even before COVID, because it came to my head a few times. You know, I thought about that a lot after that conversation. And, you know, I'm like, well, like, it might be time for her if she's really thinking that this is time. And COVID came and she ended up getting it and it happened. And, you know, I don't feel good about her passing, but it was the loss that I was the most ready to deal with ever in life. And the way that I dealt with that on the air, because I don't ever want to be disingenuous, right? Like, I feel like the time that I'm the most honest is like 6 a.m. on the dot, right? Like, I'll come in and if I'm feeling a type of way, I say it, and then I kind of get it off my chest, and I move past it. And that morning after I found out that she passed, I was like, man, like, y'all don't understand. You're passing this disease on to people that can't deal with it. Even if you think that you're going to be fine with it, like, stop partying together. Stop. We're not wearing a mask. Da, da, da. This was right before the mask mandate. And I'm just like, look, y'all got to just get it together because, and you know, Arizona, the number, and she was in Arizona, the numbers were wild. And then they've gone down since, but like, they were at that time, it was like the worst place to be in the world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just like using that as an example for people, like, yo, like, if you're not taking this seriously, you should take it seriously, because my grandmother died, 3 other women in my family ended up getting it. It's not to be played with. And, once I got that off my chest that morning, I was, you know, it was all good. You know, we were playing records, we were telling jokes and the whole nine. It being in this business helps you. It helps you let things roll off.
Sure.
And I've become good at that. Just kind of like someone called me a duck before. It's like, you know, water just rolls off the duck feathers.
Ah, sure.
And that's kind of how I've learned to be, is more like a duck in that sense. which is funny to think about.
It is, but I like the metaphor behind it.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things you spoke on that I can relate to, because same thing with me and my grandmother passed no longer than like a year and a half ago. Toughest thing I had ever had to deal with. And like, but the same thing, reason why I'm talking about it is because she said the same thing to me. She was only 75. But she was like living life and like good quality life too, and like kind of traveling, and then was like, Kevin, I'm traveling at some because I'm going to die soon. And I said, no, don't say that. Like, that's not what we're talking about. There's no way that that's even a thing. You're healthy. You're only 75. Like, you're good. My grandfather and her, they're good. Like, they're on top of their health. Boom. 2 weeks later, after she told me that on my birthday, after I shared a bottle of wine with her, 2 weeks after she told me she was going to die and she got done traveling for a reason, she was traveling for the last time and died on the trip. She had a heart attack. And it was one of those things, man, where you're like, you know, this sense of enlightenment and like contentment they had with that when telling you that, because I can't imagine being content with that, right. is strength in itself, but it teaches you stuff. And I think that, like you said, in this industry, when you're in a kind of different realm of it, but regardless, music, you're in that industry. You know, I think it's a good industry to be in during this time, because it's easiest to cope with. When I was working logistics, there's no way I'm coping with, I'm putting fruit on a reefer van across the states during COVID. Like, imagine that. Imagine going to bed every night thinking I'm going to give my customers this product, and I have to, because the world doesn't stop. And especially that transportation business. And then on top of that, like, I'll be honest, logistics was 3 things, man. Fucking people over, making money, and being as cheap as possible. Imagine that. Imagine those drivers. Imagine being a driver during all of this time and you have to sit in a van going across state to state to state with no one watching out for you because you're an independent owner and you barely get paid a buck. So like, I'm glad that we're in music and I'm blessed to be in music for that reason, because when someone dies and when some pandemic happens or whatever it is, like, we're in an industry where we can cope with it, and which is super cool. And that's one thing I wanted to ask you too, is you've been doing morning shows for a while. We kind of talked about that. But for your interviews, it's a whole different thing. Like when I was doing a podcast, for example, I just started this during COVID because I said, you know, Kev's perspective, I'm in the music industry, I can give people the inside scoop of like, you know, kind of what I talk about behind the scenes with these artists. And like, I feel like that's something cool that I can bring to people because I'm really good with relationships. Like that's what I went to school for. Sales and marketing is all about relationships. And I feel like I'm good with that with artists. I've chopped it up with Kurgo Bangs for hours. Like a lot of people can't say they've done that. So I'm blessed to be doing that. And I'm kind of asking like you, when you bring interviews to the table, when you're, I mean, it's not a skill that you just had. When you interviewed someone like, let's say Macklemore or Post Malone, right?
Yeah.
What's one thing you try to do to keep yourself a good energy for those people and make them feel comfortable?
Ooh, you know what? I would say that to the best thing to do in those interviews is just to maintain your own energy. I'd say maintain, maintain your energy. Like remember that they're people too. Yep. You know, because some people kind of get lost in like, oh my God, that's Macklemore. Like, oh, what am I going to tell Macklemore? But the thing is like Macklemore and you bring up two of the most easygoing ass people for an example of this. But I Post Malone's a huge star. But like you, the biggest thing is to maintain your energy, because if your energy's off, just like any other person, they're going to know that, they're going to feel that. And then their energy is going to be off. And especially with people that like a Macklemore or Post Malone, who deal with people all the time, like interviewers, like, you know, they'll have the Macklemore have a promo run where he goes and he does phoners with 50 people in a day. Yeah. And, you know, maybe he talked with two people on that one that he even remembers the conversation. And those were the people that maintained their energy and weren't intimidated by the situation and probably said something funny.
All right.
That's kind of why, like, when we brought Post Malone here years ago, I took him to the gun range because, like, he's a shooting country ass dude, right? And I didn't want to do like just a regular like, hey, come to the studio and let's talk about your song with Justin Bieber ass interview. I wanted to do like, hey, let's just do something fun and put it on video. And he didn't want to leave. We were late to his meet and greet. And then, you know, he's like, I don't even want to go out there and do this right now. He's like, he dropped over $1,000 at that. We had a lot of shit for free at the gun range.
Mm-hmm.
They set it up. They were really happy to just do it. And they gave us like all these guns to shoot and all this ammo. But he ended up dropping like $1,500 there or something like that.
Just wanted to hang out. Yeah.
He bought extra ammo for us like to shoot. And then he bought some stuff for his own guns at home. He was like, I can't get this in California. He's like,
yeah,
you know? So like that was my thought process behind that, was just like, get them in their own, either A, in their own element, or B, get them in a completely new environment. Because that usually works with interviews too. Like the prime example of this is, I can't remember his name, but he does the Hot Ones. The Hot Ones.
Sean Evans.
Sean Evans. Yeah. Yeah. He's great. He's a good interviewer, but he's also a brilliant mind beyond an interviewer, because he's like, hey, let's just eat hot wings and see how people react. And they'll probably answer questions different ways with having all this spice in their mouth.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of the same thought process I had, you know?
I like it. No, I like that a lot. Because when I was thinking about doing this podcast, I had to think about, it's going to be over Zoom. How am I going to get people to come out of that shell? And that's honestly what I do, is I ask very surface level questions at first. And then eventually I'll try to honestly throw them off with something with you, I didn't have to do that, which is dope. I appreciate you for that. But like, I'll throw them off with something and then I'll come back to the questions and they'll all of a sudden be in a different mindset. I'm working two different parts of the brain, which is what I learned in school. And that's all I did was that's all you can do during this time. Now, if I was in person, I think it'd be a lot easier. You know what I mean? Cause we're expressing only 20 to 30% of communication right now. You were able to express 100%. Which is super fucking cool. You're able to actually change that dude's environment and be able to get him a different environment. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about. The reason why I brought that big artist up is because for me, I'm not like big in this scene by any means, but I worked hard to get to where I was. And when I'm finally hanging out with and working for, not working with, working for these artists as a promoter, because I like to, you know, I pride myself in my work, making sure that people are comfortable when they come to this city and they want to come back to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Because one few promoter could ruin it for the rest, right? When I'm doing that, I've also had a lot of criticism come my way from not the artists, but the fans, from the patrons. And I know that it's at CLM Presents, like any other company that kind of creates a buzz, you're going to get some criticism. And for us, it was like, the whole conversation between having local artists and how do they get on and stuff like that. For Go 95, I've heard a lot of different things. I'm not here to like start beef, to be clear, Augie. I want to ask, how do you personally deal with the criticism that comes with working for Go 95? Because I get criticism working for CLM. It is what it is.
Well, personally, I don't get a lot of criticism, but no? I do see some of the stuff online.
Not even talking about online either. Like the word of mouth is pretty simple for me. It's like, you know, people say they're local, but they're not. And I'm like, see, that's tough because for someone like Augie, you showed up and rap. That's as local as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So well, like,
you know, here's the thing with playing local music, right? And I hear that too. Like there's a difference between playing like supporting local and playing nothing but local, mm-hmm. right? We can name you. You can throw me a name of a random rapper who's been in the Twin Cities and doing their music for the past 4 years and doing it well. And chances are, their song's been played on our station,
mm-hmm.
Because we keep ourselves abreast of the scene. Now, not everybody can say that. There are talented artists that we haven't played. I'll be honest there. Like I've seen people different spots. We never played their music. Now, the reason why local music isn't rotated heavily as say like Megan Thee Stallion and Beyonce record.
Sure.
The reasons behind, and you can understand this being a promoter who, When you're booking artists and you want to fill up, let's say Myth.
Yep.
That's a, what, 4,000 person venue?
Yep. 3-4.
So what type of artist would you pick to fill up that venue? A headliner?
You're turning the question on me. Yeah, I like it, man. Honestly, I do two things in that case, right? You look at the vibe of the main act and then you want quality music. You okay. want quality over quantity in that case.
But in the case of the main act, like I've seen the type of artists that sell that place out before.
Yeah.
Like who have you had success filling that venue with?
Migos, MGK. And those are the two that I could say that were like for sure successes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that were just like overwhelmingly success. But no one else, we don't mess with the Myth too much personally, but I know what you're getting at though.
Yeah. So just those are two great examples, Migos and MGK, right? Yeah. They make completely different type of music, but those are, even in a venue that's a mid-sized venue like the Myth, those are pretty A-list artists.
Yeah.
Migos are legendary. Like they had
absolutely
the Bad and Bougie is a number one record and it was number one for a while. Now, how many artists out here can say that, and I'm not throwing shade, this is just being realistic, how many artists can say that they've had a Bad and Bougie?
Right.
The quality of music might have been just as good. I'm not gonna take away anybody's quality of their art and their music, because I said this earlier in the podcast that I've seen, when I got here, the level of talent is high. And the fact is that there's at least 20 artists that I can see that can be top tier artists.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is there's a lot of differences. But it's just like a ball player,
right?
Ball player, you can have that natural ability. How far do you take that natural ability? Do you do everything it takes to take your ability to the next level? Mm-hmm. Have you had it a little bit of luck? I mean, shit, it takes a little bit of luck. But the thing that gives you the luck, or at least ability to take advantage of the luck is the hard work.
Yeah.
And they say this all the time. Hard work beats talent every time.
Yep.
And if you have talent and hard work, that's when you get a Drake. Yep. Drake is talent and hard work. You know, you can hate on his subject matter or whatever. You can mm-hmm. hate on everything, but that man works really hard and he's really talented. So that's how you get to that level. Now, circling back a little bit, you have people that here that are just as talented as Drake.
Yep.
Now, the reason why we play Drake is because Drake is signed to a record label, and Drake has great promotion. You know, right. with the record labels comes promotion. And that's probably how you book some of your artists, is you reach out to the record label and say, hey, they may even reach out to you. You might say, hey, we have a schedule in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Here's what we're trying to do. Boom. You're like, oh, we got you. We can figure this out. And that's kind of what we do in the radio business is these record labels are promoting their music to us every day. Every day of the week. So there's garbage that's promoted and we don't play the garbage. There's great songs that are promoted. And we play the great songs. Now above and beyond that, we've done a lot to try to play local music. We played and you can call her local, you can call her not, but we played Lizzo's oh my God, I can't remember the name of the song right now, but it went number one last year.
Truth Hurts. I don't fucking
Truth. Know. No, not Truth. Is it Truth Hurts? No.
I don't know, she had a lot of number ones at this point. I mean, they're close to number ones at this point.
That's right. I think it was Truth Hurts. I do my head toss, check my nails. Good as Hell came out in 2016.
Yeah.
We were playing that song heavy and she was like a nobody artist, but we were like, this woman is talented. She's from the Twin Cities. We're playing her song because this is what we're doing. And then it took 3 years for it to really catch fire. And then mm-hmm. we started playing it again. Now that those are the type of things we'll do. If we, and I tell this to every artist that hits me in my DMs, it's like, look, radio is not the ladder to your success. Radio is near the top of your ladder to success.
Right.
So if you want us to play your song, you have to have a couple of things going for you. Number one is streams. Can you reach the top 50 in streams in the Minneapolis, St. Paul market? Because if you can, we are going to pay attention. We're going to be like, who's this artist? Oh, this is a local artist. Oh, we probably should be playing this artist.
Right.
Number two, when we look at this, what type of person are you? You know, and we've been really wrong on that. And we're actually less likely to play artists now, local artists now, because of what's happened in the scene.
Yep. I feel you on that.
And, you know, we were playing Rhymesayers artists because everybody in Minnesota loves Atmosphere and everybody in Minnesota loves Brother Ali. But haven't played them since this whole shit went down, because mm-hmm. like they're, I'm not gonna say it, but we all know
right.
the terrible business practices that they've had and the terrible things that they've allowed to happen.
Yep.
So we're not playing them, and that situation in 2020, that situation has made it really hard for local artists to get played on our channel, not permanently.
No,
not permanently, but it's just like we have to pay extra attention to who's doing right. what right now, because we don't want to be attached to, we don't like this shit either. Dem Atlas, I thought he was a great dude.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And you know, it's separating the person from the act is tough. And as far as I knew, he was a great dude, but learning about what he's done is terrible. And I don't want to support a person like that.
No, I feel you. And to take that kind of off your plate, I understand what you're talking about, because we've booked these people. I mean, I've booked some of these people that you're talking about, to support other main acts on our shows. And I haven't heard anything like, luckily when you are a good person in this scene, which Augie, if you've been in music for a while, man, it can be rare to come across a genuinely good person in the music industry. I mean, dude, I muscled my way in here being a good dude, and like, people can say what they want about me, but there's not much to say, because I genuinely came up, and I took a long time to come up, because, and not come up like I've made it, just to be freaking clear with people on podcasts. People love to blow shit out of proportion. I'll be very clear. To be a concert promoter, it is tough. It was tough to even muscle my way in here. I had to be an artist and work with the same man for 6 years until that man gave me an opportunity. And then I hustled my ass off for a year, and now where I'm at. That is why. Okay. But when we then book these people that are now having allegations against them, and then this is before, by the way, as you can tell from the business practice, like you said, it's hard to separate that. But as a business person, I was like, you're a good person. But when they get on that stage, it's kind of like when I work for Apple and I say, and I give you a gift card, it's up to you to do what you want with that gift card. And I'm not responsible for it at that point. Once that man hits that stage and he's done, I'm not responsible for what they do at that point. So I think that's a good way to put it, is you guys played him on the radio and you're not responsible for what they do after you do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were supporting good music, and that's still a good thing to be talking about. And I understand, like, now that if you're a local, you're not just going to be in rotation all the time, like willy nilly, like it maybe used to have been at Go 95, because you guys have played my music, and all I had to do was submit it and kind of chit chat and be done. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't that hard. You know what I mean? I was like, hey, I got this new song. I got the clean version ready to go. It's good quality. Would you play it at late at night? And you're like, done. Like, you know what I mean? But I understand now that times are changing. And I think not just with COVID, let's full circle this, now with just COVID or the Black Lives Matter movement or anything going on in the music scene, this is going to be a year to learn. I think it's a big year of learning and a big year of, you know, just change in general, that will be again positive for all artists in the scene, for all businesses in the scene. But as of right now, like you said, we're all together and we got to get through it. And I'm going to respect Augie's time. And for those who don't know, Augie's on every weekday, right? 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Is that still a thing for you?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. And he does this great Instagram live, which I love. I love tuning in when I'm awake, tuning into Augie's Instagram live. Augie, anything to say to the people before we go?
No, I just want to say this, that I just kind of the final thought on the local artist thing.
Sure.
Is that, you know, we've taken a pause on playing local music for the time being, but that's not a forever thing, because I feel like there's going to be a not a middle ground, but like, we're going to figure this thing out in the scene. I feel like we've talked about this before. There's a new guard, I would say. A lot of younger artists that are not problematic, that respect women, that are extra talented, are kind of making their way. And I think that when the smoke settles and the COVID clears, I think that we're going to see like a new Minneapolis and a new St. Paul, and Go 95.3 will be welcoming that new Minneapolis and new St. Paul with opening arms.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I think I'll backpack off that same with our company as well. Once everything kind of, you know, we all learn from that and we all kind of move forward and make a plan to move forward together as a city. That's going to be very important to do, and we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. Man, I appreciate you again for being on this, Augie. You gave me an hour of your time. I really appreciate it, man.
No doubt, man. Kev, thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, bro. Have a good one.
Take care.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Kev's Perspective this week. I greatly appreciate every listener I can get. Please go follow me on YouTube, K-E-V-S Perspective, or get at me on Instagram, K-E-V-L-O-E Official. If you want to go to YouTube to see the visual, if you want to get at me for Instagram to see, again, any kind of guests, any kind of topics you want revolving around the music industry, please get at me for those questions. Again, thank you for tuning in. Have a great day. It's crazy.